being in the class for a day, I told Brother Damron that I was renaming the class. And he said, what are you going to rename it? I said, I am renaming it The Apostasy and Decline of Baptist Music in America. And then I'm going to subtitle it, Are You Part of the Problem or Part of the Solution? I'm happy to report that for the vast majority, I didn't feel like we should play Just As I Am throughout the course of the week. We strive to make sure that the songs that are sung, the hymns and the associations, and you wonder why that is, then you should go take that class this week and you'll understand there's a greater battle for music going on around the world. And I'm thankful to be at Lighthouse, thankful we have a music program. Thank you for not fighting us on that. But it is not enough for the preacher to have a good philosophy of music. You need to have one as well. For as goes the pew, so goes the pulpit. And if you are not strong in understanding music and what we do, if most of the time you walk away going, Pastor, he only likes people that have been dead for 200 years, then you don't understand the battle that is going on, and you should be asking questions. Why is that? What is it? What do I need to know? What can I do to protect my family? It was a very good course, very well done. Again, thankful for our music here. Let our young people be dismissed for children's Bible time. Second grade on down with Mr. Frank. Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy. So we are doing doctrinal stuff on Sunday evening. For those of you that are keeping count, this is message number 27. So it has just been over a year since because we take some breaks, Lord's Supper here and there. But it's been pretty close to a year where we started this, different doctrinal things according to God's Word. And tonight, we're coming down to the end. I think I've got two more to go. Tonight is the tribulation period. Now, I know those of you that are here with me on Wednesday night are thinking, oh, not again. Because on Wednesday night, that's where we are in the tribulation period, and we're coming down to the end of Revelation. We've been in there for a year, and you're thinking, this is going to be all rehashed stuff that we have talked about. And it'll be a certain degree of review, but we're going to do some things tonight that we have not had time to do on Wednesday night. And so when you're talking about a topic, and we're talking about the doctrine of the tribulation period being those 7 years after the church age and the rapture, concluding with the second coming of Jesus Christ and culminating into the millennial reign of Christ. So we're talking about that 7 years. How long has that been known? And we're going to look at that and look at some other scriptures that we've stayed pretty close to the book of Revelation. Haven't really gone to Daniel all that much either. We're going to spend a good deal of time in the Old Testament this evening talking about that 7 year time period. What did they know? When did they know it? And let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand your word. And understand that this is not something that took you by surprise, not something that all of a sudden after the Jewish people turned their back on you, that you decided, well, you know, I'll work through the church during the church age before I turn back to my people. That you knew this was going to happen, that you had planned for this, that you warned them about these events, and that we should be warned as well. Help us to pay attention, be attentive, and to be able to answer of the hope that lieth within us with meekness and fear. Father, for that person that does not know your salvation, I pray that they would receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Go to the principle of first mention. And what does Deuteronomy chapter 4 say? Drop down to verse 30. Deuteronomy, for those of you that don't know, is in the Old Testament. It's one of the earlier books. And this is what God says. When thou art in tribulation. I've written out in the margin of my Bible, part of my Bible study, not today. I don't know when I've made this mark, sometime in the last 5 years, because that's how old this particular Bible is to me. I've written these references, Daniel 12:1, Zechariah 13, verse 8, and we'll be traveling to Zechariah in a few minutes. Now, this is an Old Testament reference to the fact that coming is going to be a time of tribulation. And this is not talking about just a time of heartache. This is talking about this time period right here. You say, well, Pastor, this is the Old Testament. Yeah, this is like 2,500 years back from the cross. That's right. And God told them in the Old Testament that there was going to come this tribulation period. When thou art in tribulation. It didn't take God by surprise that they departed from Him, turned their back on Him, because He is speaking to the Jewish people, and He's saying to them, not when you're raptured and tribulation comes, but when the Jewish people are going through tribulation. When they're in that. Why is that? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon me, when? Even in the latter days. Now, we shared that last week from the book of Job, that Job, the oldest written book, the oldest book from pen to ink, that Job said, I understand that in the latter days, Jesus Christ is going to stand on the earth, and though worms should consume my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job had that confidence. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, notice this, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto His voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, He will not forsake thee. I'm sure during the tribulation period it's going to feel like to the Jewish people that they're going to be utterly destroyed, that they're not going to make it to the end, and the end is 7 years. Neither destroy thee. And to the Baptist preachers out there, we talked about landmarkers, Baptist briders out there that think, oh, the church is so great that we have replaced Israel. Notice what God, in this old promise, this first reference, He's referencing the tribulation period, but He is also referencing the fact that He will not forget the covenant of thy fathers which He sware unto them. Israel is still the people of God. Again, the tribulation period, referring to those 7 years of judgment on earth after the rapture. After the rapture. There are those that teach that all believers will go through the tribulation period, or half of the tribulation period. I'm just glad that it's pretty clear in God's Word that God hath not appointed us to wrath. You know Jesus Christ as your Savior, whether Jew or Gentile, God has not appointed you to wrath, but to salvation. There will be, on this earth, during these 7 years, there will be believers. But there will not be believers that come up to the rapture and God leaves them behind. Who will be the Christians, who will be the believers during the 7 years? Well, God will have two witnesses and then 144,000 male Jewish evangelists that will travel the world preaching the gospel, and thousands upon thousands of people will be saved, those who have never heard. Many, many Jewish people. The book of Revelation describes that. How many? As the sand of the sea for a number. That's a huge number that are going to populate the earth during this 7 years. That's exciting. Job chapter 19, I reference that. Job saying, for I know that my Redeemer liveth and that He shall stand upon the earth at the latter day. And though after my skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." This time of trouble is spoken of by Daniel the prophet in Daniel chapter 12. It's referenced in Matthew chapter 24. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago in the Olivet Discourse. Talked about in the book of Revelation. 7 years of God's wrath. And we learned on Wednesday night just a couple of weeks ago, as we are coming down to the end of the tribulation period, 7 trumpet judgments, or 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 vials, and the 7th vial is open. That brings us right down to the very end of the tribulation period. And the New Bibles take that word vial and translate it to bowl. But there is a big difference between a vial and a bowl. When I go home this evening, Sunday nights are my cereal night. And so Sunday night after church, I will have a bowl of cereal. And it depends upon the day. Sometimes the bowl, I think the biggest bowl for cereal I've ever had is this big. I was 18, 19 years of age. You can take a bottle, a box of Kellogg Sugar Frosted Flakes and dump the box in and fill it. And you say, "Pastor, you didn't really eat that whole thing." I did, and I've lived so far to tell about it. I am not going to go home tonight and get a vial for my cereal. Why? Because a vial is a little medicine bottle. I don't know that I'd get the flakes in there, get a drop or two of milk in there. And so when you change that word from vial, which is a medicinal term, a measured portion of God's judgment, to a bowl, you make God seem like he's overbearing. And God is not overbearing. His judgment is measured. It is measured. So there are several words that I would use to describe the tribulation period. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. It's hard to talk about tribulation period without taking a trip through Revelation. We're going to look at several verses there, and we'll go back to the Old Testament. Revelation chapter 14. The key word in the book of Revelation that describes, and we'll not look at this evening, in the book, Revelation 6:16, Revelation 6:17, Revelation 11, is God's wrath. This is a time, the tribulation period is a time of God's wrath. Now follow me to Revelation chapter 14. So wrath would certainly be a word that we would understand. Judgment. The tribulation period is a time of judgment. Revelation chapter 14, verse 7, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." Turn to me, chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15, verse 4, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." Looking at Revelation chapter 16, verse 5. "And I heard the angel of the water say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus." And what are they guilty of? Verse 6, "For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." And I heard another out of the altar say, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 2. "For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. So to say that, to not understand that this 7 years is a time of judgment is not to understand and take God at His word. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 26. In the Old Testament, Isaiah. Again, Isaiah is in the Old Testament. We were in Deuteronomy. We read from Job. Job understood that there was a time called the latter days. Deuteronomy talked about that time of tribulation. Now we're in Isaiah. The tribulation period will be a time of God's wrath. It'll be a time of God's judgment. It will be a time of God's indignation. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. What is Isaiah talking about? Isaiah is talking about this 7 year period of tribulation, a time of God's wrath, a time of God's indignation. Look at chapter 34, Isaiah chapter 34. Again, Isaiah, an Old Testament prophet. During this time period, some are pre-exile, some are exiled. The major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, are major prophets, Ezekiel. And then you've got the minor prophets. Some of them prophesy before the exile. Some of them prophesy during the exile. Some of them prophesy post-exile, after the exile. But all of them are consistent in one thing. They all preach the same message. There's coming a time of God's indignation. We're in Isaiah 34, verse 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations. And you'll notice, all is without exception. And I know there's a popular voice out there today that says America is not going to apostatize. And I don't know how you can look at our nation and say that. But we are part of this all nations that is going to feel the Lord's indignation and His fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. The slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. This last Wednesday night, we talked about that battle of Armageddon that takes place just after the second coming of Jesus Christ. When the Lord places His feet upon the Mount of Olives, He is coming on a white horse. Those that know Christ as their Savior are coming back with Him on white horses. I'm pretty excited about having my white horse. Don't tell my dad. And coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood will be to the horse's bridle for a stretch of 200 miles. How is that possible? You ever seen a flood? How the water raises in the valley? And the text in Isaiah talks about the blood of the people on the mountains as flowing down into the valley, and it's going to raise. I don't have a problem with believing that or understanding it. All it takes is a flood here in our area for me to visualize we visualize water coming down and then piling up in the valley. In this battle, the armies of the world will gather against the Lord, and their blood will be slain. We've talked about this on Wednesday night, and I'll spend a lot of time tonight talking about it. But what is going to happen? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But I know the Lord will defeat them. Whether there'll be confusion, as there were in several Old Testament battles, you figure that you've got all the armies of the world that have gathered to do battle against the Lord, and one thing they don't do is they don't all speak the same language. Will they turn on one another? It would not surprise me in the least. Are you foe? Friend, are you foe? And that's how the end will be. I do not know. But I do know it is a time of God's indignation. It is a time of punishment. Turn me to chapter 24. Verse 20 again. The earth, what is going to happen? Isaiah chapter 24, verse 20. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. Chapter 26, verse 20. Notice again why the Lord is coming in verse 21. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Turn me to Joel, the Old Testament minor prophet of Joel. So we call them the major prophets and the minor prophets. Some people call them the major prophets because they think they're major, and minor because they deal with lesser. But that's not the case at all. They're called major prophets because they're long books, and minor prophets because they're short books. So I like to refer to them as the long-winded prophets and the short-winded prophets. But that's where major and minor comes up. But we have Joel. We're in the first chapter, Joel chapter 1. Verse 14, sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. It'll be a time of judgment, it'll be a time of indignation, it'll be a time of punishment, it will be a time of destruction. Turn with me to chapter 2 of Joel. It will be a time of darkness. Verse 2, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Turn me to Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. You start at Matthew and work your way backwards, you'll find Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. Again, I'm showing you this to show you that the Old Testament folks were warned that this day was coming. They just ignored the warnings. What is consistent about the day and age in which we live? We have been warned. We have ignored the warnings. We're in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. That great day of the Lord is near. It is near, and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty men shall cry there bitterly. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against fenced cities and against high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Turn me back just a couple of pages to Amos. Amos chapter 5. And Amos, a minor prophet, short-winded, but he has a powerful message, a reminder. Again, similar, verse 18. Woe to you, unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. What is so sad for me as I review these words, wrath, judgment, indignation, punishment, destruction, is that it is not necessary. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to salvation in Jesus Christ. And say, God's not fair. God provided an escape. Jesus Christ bore the penalty for me. The wrath of God was poured out upon him for me. Why not receive that gift? If you receive the gift of God, you are not in condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. It's a great, great passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 says, For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to salvation. That salvation is in Jesus Christ. Every once in a while, we are given a glimpse into eternity. This week has been one of those weeks, if you've been paying attention. The assassination of Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was hunted because of his faith and trust in Christ, his Bible stand. During the tribulation period, Christians will be hunted. We saw the aftermath of that. If you've been watching the news at all, there have been people that have celebrated his death. And there have been many who have been fired or lost their jobs because in a civilized world, that is not a proper response to murder of a civilized people. But during the tribulation period, that will be the norm. Just a reminder, the two witnesses will be protected until God says your ministry is done. They'll be killed. Their bodies will be put in the street. And the world will celebrate their assassination. I just say every once in a while, God gives us a little glimpse, a little window into what that tribulation period is going to be like. And that is just a minuscule, what we saw this week is just a minuscule degree of what is going to be like during tribulation period, where Christians are hunted for their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and brutally assassinated. And the world will not rise up in arms. The world will rejoice that their gospel witness has been silenced. It's just not a time where I want to be around. And I'm glad that God has not appointed me to wrath. That description is brutal. Again, we memorized Revelation chapter 20 a couple of years ago. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not received the mark of the beast, not worshiped the beast, not followed the beast, but had worshiped God. Tribulation period is the terms in God's word are descriptive. Turn me to Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. The tribulation period is going to affect everyone here on earth. Say, preacher, what about those who have trusted Christ as their Savior? Hear me again. The tribulation period will affect everyone who is here on earth. How will it adversely affect those who are believers? They've got to hide. They're going to be killed. Countless of them are going to be beheaded. Again, Revelation 20, for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. It's going to be a brutal time to be a believer. It's going to be a brutal time to come to know Christ and His salvation. And you take a class, you have the scope and sequence of the material. What is the scope? What is the sequence? In this time period, everyone is going to be affected. We're in Jeremiah chapter 30. I draw your attention to verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. But it does not mean that it is not going to be difficult to be on the earth during that time period. A question that is asked when you talk about tribulation doctrine is, when will the tribulation begin? We have a tendency to associate events. So we associate the rapture with the beginning of the tribulation period. And that's not necessarily a good association. The rapture will definitely take place before the tribulation starts, but it is not the rapture that marks the beginning of the tribulation period. Say, well, preacher, what does mark the beginning of the tribulation period? I'm glad you asked. When that man, the prince that shall come, shall be revealed. And of course, that is the Antichrist, which I can't say alarms me a little bit, but my antenna goes up when I'm talking around guys and fellows, and we get to talking, and one of the guys said, Pastor, did you hear? I think so-and-so is the Antichrist. And I was, if the Antichrist has been revealed, that means a rapture has taken place, and you've been left behind, and I've been left behind, and that is not a good thing. The identification, the rise of the Antichrist, will signal the beginning of the tribulation period. The prince is indeed the Antichrist. Look at me, Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. It's in Revelation 13, it's in Revelation 14, it's in Revelation 15, it's in Revelation 16, it's in Revelation 17, 19, 20. We'll just look at one reference for time, and then we'll move. Revelation 13, verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Look at verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And we know the answer to that is the second coming of Jesus Christ and God. He is able to do that. And goes on down, look at verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then a warning, if any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. The Antichrist is going to be revealed. That is going to mark the beginning of the tribulation period. The rapture is going to occur sometime before that. Is it a month? I don't know. A week? I don't know. A year? I don't know. But I know it'll be prior to that. The tribulation starts, and the Antichrist rises with a peace treaty to Israel. So again, in the news today, I think Mark sent me the article, somebody writing about the pressure on Israel to achieve a two-state solution, and it's in the United Nations, and there's all kinds of hubbub going on, and people have rejected that resolution. The vast majority of the world has accepted that resolution. And so we talk. Is this it? Well, again, if that's it, then you've been left behind, because it is the Antichrist that is going to come up with that peace solution in Israel. It is not the United Nations that is going to come up. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be a resolution from a group of nations. It is going to be the resolve of one man, the Antichrist, who is going to conquer and conquer nations of the world. And again, that is going to signify the beginning. That peace treaty that is supposed to span 7 years of tribulation period is going to be broken by the Antichrist himself, right dead center in the middle, 3.5 years of the tribulation period, and he is going to defile that. And turn with me to Daniel chapter 9. We're in Daniel is in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 9. Matthew chapter 24 talks about this. When you see the abomination of desolation talked about by Daniel the prophet. One talks about weeks and a dividing of weeks. A week is considered a year as far as context. And so you've got a week, one, plus weeks, two, plus a dividing of weeks, a half, brings you to the midpoint of the tribulation period, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Talking about 7 years. And in the midst of the week, 3.5 years, he shall cause a sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Notice, he shall cause it. He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Matthew chapter 24 references that. When you see the abomination of desolation, Matthew 24:15, run to the mountains. Don't go home, don't pack a suitcase, don't let anybody know. Just stop wherever you are. If you're in the middle of the workday, in the middle of a job, in the middle of shopping at the grocery store, and you realize all of a sudden, news flash comes across, and there are screens everywhere now that you go, and you see breaking news coming out of the Middle East. The Antichrist, I'm not going to call him the Antichrist, has just defiled the temple of Israel, and Jews everywhere are in. And you realize, I'm a Jewish person, that's the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, and warned about in Matthew chapter 24, and you drop your grocery bags and you run. Why? Because they're about to be hunted. They're about to be hunted. It's a sad commentary out of Texas. Occurred, I believe it was this week, just recently. Two fellows were having a little dispute. It was a motel out in... out in the middle of nowhere, some no-name motel, and they had, I can see the rooms that are spread out, and the cars kind of parked out in front, and two guys are having a dispute out front. And one of the fellows is a Cuban, he happened to be illegal, alien, he is now in the Dallas County Jail. So he's having this dispute with this guy, and it's not going well, or at least he doesn't think it's going well, so he pulls a machete out, and he starts hacking at the guy's neck. Until he cuts his head off. And then he takes his head and he kicks it across the parking lot. So here's this guy's head across the parking lot. And then he picks up the head and he walks towards the dumpster. And on the video, I wouldn't recommend you go watch it. It is on the news. You can see blood dripping from the skull as he carries it over and tops it in the dumpster and turns around like, why are you looking at me? And anybody who's appalled, what makes it even worse, his wife and young child were there watching. I just say, every once in a while, you get a glimpse of what the tribulation period is going to be like. And Christians are going to be hunted, and they're going to be beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God. And say, Pastor, that is not a very pretty picture. It is not a very pretty picture. It is a pretty ugly picture. And we are to warn others to flee the wrath to come. Turn me to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Zechariah. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, the last book of the Old Testament, the 12th chapter. Again, what is the purpose? To judge those on the earth who have rejected Jesus Christ. What is the purpose? To judge those who have worshipped the devil, have substituted the Antichrist for the real Christ. A purpose, to prepare Israel for the Messiah. I'll tell you what, if you are a saved Jewish person on the earth during the 7 years, and you are being hunted so that people can cut your head off, you're going to long for this day. When the King of Kings comes and sets his foot, and that second coming of Jesus Christ, and the storm is calmed, when the enemies of the cross are destroyed, and for the first time in 7 years, say, well, preacher, I thought you said 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years are not going to be a panacea. It's still going to be difficult. The second half is going to be absolutely brutal. But if you'd like to say, for the last 3.5 years, you have not been safe, your family has not been safe, for the first time, your family will be safe. For the first time, you'll be able to walk down the streets and be safe. For the first time. Why? Because you're now under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, and that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ kicks in. We're in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mournings of Hadadaram in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, and the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart. It's a difficult, difficult time. Look at chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. In that day shall there be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Look at verse 8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. 66% dead. But the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part. Where is that? We're coming right down here to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and shall call, and they shall call upon my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And for the first time in many, 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 many years, they will say, the Lord is my God. Turn with me to one last scripture, Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. Where are we? We're way over here. And there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. When is the Lord going to come back? Well, there's another date in the news. Have you been watching? Another date showed up this week. The Lord is coming back. Are you ready? September 23rd, 2025. Do you know when that is? That's a week from Tuesday. So if you got a test a week from Wednesday, you probably should still study. Because based on their track record, it's not going to happen. I'm just going to tell you, it's not next week. We don't know when it is. Have no idea when it is. A respected African priest, he's got 500,000 followers online. He experienced a divine vision. How does he know Jesus is coming back? Next Tuesday, the 23rd. And then he said, it could be the 24th. Come on, fella. Either God gave you a vision that it's the 23rd or it's not. But that's what he said. It's going to be the 23rd of next week, unless it's not, and then it could be the 24th. Jesus told him in a vision. And this is what he said. So this is what you need to do. Are you ready? Consistent with everybody over the last 2,000 years who have said the Lord is coming back, including the Roman Catholic Church, at every turn of the century. Here's what you need to do, Eden. You need to go home and you need to sell all your stuff. Right? And then you need your home, your cars, your cookware, your shoes, your jewelry, and then you need to bring all that money back to me, and you need to put it right here. And I'll make sure that God absolves you of all your misdeeds. Okay, so all y'all, everybody need to do the same thing. That's what he's telling everybody. What is he? He is a fraud. That is, he is an absolute fraud. But people like that stuff. What's sad is people will do it. When is Christ coming back? I don't know. But I can tell you this, he is, and you better be ready. Bow your heads, close your eyes. You're here this evening, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That time of Jacob's trouble will be your time. It'll be current events for you. You say, Pastor, I'm here, I'm not saved. That is not, I do not desire to go through that. I want to embrace God's salvation. God has spoken to my heart this evening. I am not ready. Preacher, pray for me. Slip your hand up, hold it up for a moment. Let me pray for you. It's serious business. Christian, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we should be persuading men. I pray that you're doing it. Let's stand to our feet. The piano is playing. The altar is open. We come.